Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. Before we begin, I wanted to share a couple of announcements. Immediately after the service, so we're going to have a meeting with high school families, high school and middle school families, six up, with our youth director, Sarah Bender. And so that's happening, and that'll be right in the narthex there. Next Sunday, it's going to be different, because we're going to be launching our children's church stuff. So there's going to be activities for the kids, some classes and some studies for them downstairs. And also coming up is the youth retreat on October 8th through 10th, which is soon. I thought it was late October. I was completely wrong this morning whenever Sarah corrected me. So that's coming. Make sure that you sign up for that. I also want to include one other announcement that isn't in the bulletin. We're collecting... our wonderful office admin saw this need and signed us up for it, and I applaud her for the initiative in doing it. We're collecting stuff for Afghan refugees here in our community. And as you guys know, it's been horrible what's happened in that country. And these are people that have helped us, that's helped our country as we were over there. And so this is our opportunity to help them back. And so we're collecting some, seems like cleaning supplies mostly. We're collecting those things, and we'll be partnering with Catholic Social Services to make sure that those get distributed. Also, if you go onto the Catholic Social Services website, there are other ways you can get involved too with incoming refugees. It's just another way for us to serve. And so I would encourage you, as you feel led, to get involved. It's a good thing to help people, to welcome in the foreigners and the widows and the displaced, right? Much like Israel was displaced into Egypt way back in the day. You know, we want to be open to foreigners as well. And always, as you know, if you have a prayer request or concern, feel free to write it on the Connect cards, which are in the narthex there, and you can just drop it into the offering box that's in the back of the sanctuary. We'd love to pray for you. Or you can just always send out an email, and we will pray for that as well. So, with all that kind of put out there, let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunities to serve you and to participate in a life with you. We ask for your guidance and your spirit so that we can respond to what you would have us respond to, that your word would be active in our lives. And we would be shaped through its proclamation. In Christ's name, amen. On Monday is my son's birthday, my youngest son. And he has been asking how many days until his birthday for, I don't know, maybe 9 months. How many more days until my birthday? And he can't wait, right? Because he's impatient. He knows he's going to be celebrated, and his brothers are going to have to do all of his chores for that week, because that's one of our traditions in our household. Like, you don't have to do chores on your birthday week. And of course, there's cakes and presents. And kids love all that stuff, right? And they really want to know when that's going to happen. They want a countdown. They want to know how long until this happens, right? How long until Christmas? How many more days? Or how long until Easter? How many more days? Or how many more days until Halloween? Or just How much longer till we get there? Right? They always want to know, how much longer? How much time? And sometimes they want like a timetable for things that we don't even know, like the time for. For example, my kids love it when I make dae-ji bulgogi, which is like a spicy Korean pork. And so I'll get asked all the time, Dad, when are you going to make us dae-ji bulgogi? And I'm like, I don't know. Whenever I go to the store and buy the stuff and we have propane and I have enough time. And they're like, well, when's that? I don't know. And if I'm, doing good or like, I'm feeling responsive, I'll be like, I'll make it next week, and hopefully I remember to buy the stuff. But sometimes, it's not just like the time, it's all those things that have to happen before you can tell them the time, right? I have to make sure I have the right ingredients, right? I need to make sure I have gochujang. I need to make sure that I have time for the meat to marinate. I need to have propane for the grill. I need to have all these things in order to get the final product. Grown-ups are a little bit like kids. I mean, grown-ups, they're people, just like kids are people. And we have the same problem. We want to know when. When are things going to happen? When's this going to happen? When's that going to happen? And really, that's one of the problems with reading about biblical prophecies. People become obsessed with timelines. Well, when's this going to happen? What things need to happen before this prophecy is fulfilled? Where are we in this step? Like, what step are we on? And prophecy, biblical prophecy, can be viewed as some sort of roadmap to navigate the future, right? Where there's a big prize at the end, right? Because, the prize, it's the whole kingdom, so you got to get to the prize. What if that's not the point? What if we're missing the point of the prophecies altogether whenever we think about it that way? Today, we're going to finish up our series on Daniel, and we're going to look at, what's the point in God giving us these prophecies anyways? Why does he send them? So, with all that, let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 12. We'll start on verse 25, and we'll go on to the end of the book. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river, and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the rivers lifted his right hand and his left towards the heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of these days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." And that's how Daniel ends. This scripture takes place right after Daniel's final vision, which covers like the fall of the Persian Empire, the rise and fall of Alexander the Great's empire, the wars of the smaller kingdoms that followed Alexander's death, including one of the historically most evil, despicable enemies of Israel. And the vision ends with what may be the end of the world, but there are several other interpretations, like the fall of Rome, the Catholic Church, other things like that. But after that vision, right, Daniel sees two angels talking to what may be another angel, or perhaps a pre-incarnate Jesus. It's the same figure we spoke about in chapter 10. And the angels ask the figure the same thing we'd probably ask in this situation. How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? In other words, even the angels want to know. How long until we get there? What's going to happen next? Right? When? And the figure said, in a time, times, and half a time. You know, things have got to happen first. Now, if you're thinking that is unspecific, you are not alone. Right in Scripture, verse 8, Daniel confesses, I heard but did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? In other words, what are you talking about? Right? That is not a time. They asked, what time is it going to be? And he said, time, times, and then half a time? It's not a precise measurement. But the person clothed in linen does not clarify. He just tells Daniel to go home. Live life. A lot of people will continue to be made pure, no matter what happens. But the wicked are still going to be wicked. They're not going to change their ways because they can figure out the end of the story. And this reminds me of a parable that Jesus tells about a beggar and a wasteful rich man, right? And they both die, and the beggar lives happily, you know, a resurrected life by Father Abraham's side. But the wasteful rich man, he's in hell, he's thirsty, and he's parched, he begs for some water, which he doesn't get. But the rich man asks Father Abraham, hey, can you just send somebody to warn my brothers? Send them to warn my brothers. I have five brothers. Let them know so they can avoid this terrible punishment. But Father Abraham says, they have the law. They have Moses. They have all the prophets. Nothing's going to convince them to change their ways, right? Not even if the dead man comes to life, which, of course, is a foreshadowing of Jesus' own resurrection. Likewise, that figure in linen was telling Daniel that no special inside knowledge is going to make somebody change their life. Right? Having the right knowledge is not going to make somebody change their life. I mean, think about all the knowledge we have. We have lots and lots of knowledge about all sorts of things. We need to eat less. We should eat less meat. We should wear masks. We need to wash our hands, you know, get vaccinated. We should allow for controlled forest fires. We should not build in floodplains. We need to reduce our greenhouse emissions. We need to spend less time in social media. Like, we know all these things. We know all these things that are better for you, all the things that are wrong. The problem isn't knowledge. We got lots and lots of knowledge. But having the right answers doesn't change a person's heart. So Daniel's told to go home. The angel does throw out some numbers, and honestly, every commentary I checked had a different interpretation. I checked four different interpretations on what those numbers meant, and all of them did say, maybe this, but I don't know. I think it might be this, but I don't know. But the whole point of those numbers is so that Daniel knows that God knows what those numbers mean, right? There is an actual plan. God knows what God's doing. We don't. Daniel doesn't. And so the book ends with Daniel told to go home, live life until you die. And then you're going to receive your reward. In a way, it's kind of a letdown. We read all these pages of prophecy, and we've studied this book, just us in church here. We studied the book for at least 3 months, all right, for 12 weeks. We've studied. And, you know, the last word, the last little bit says, it doesn't really matter if you understand it. What's the point of reading it in the first place? If we can't understand prophecy, why do we waste time reading and studying it? But I think perhaps looking for tangible, concrete predictions and information is missing the point. With our modern brains, we kind of look at the Bible as a reference book, right? Sort of like the ultimate encyclopedia, where you can look up the answers to all your questions. Or like a Chilton's repair manual for your life. You guys remember Chilton repair manuals? You don't know what they were back before YouTube and the internet. If you wanted to work on your car, you'd get a Chilton's. And it would have, it would tell you how to fix almost anything in your specific car for your specific year. It'd be step-by-step instructions. And it seems like sometimes we treat the Bible like a Chilton's manual for our lives. You know, like, gosh, I don't know. How do I go up? What type of job do I want? I don't know. What are my spiritual gifts? Let's look in, Yeah, there's that part in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe I have the gifts of helps, so maybe a social worker? Or, I think I should get married. I can't control my lust. But I'm not sure if the person I'm with is the right person. I mean, they are kind of mean to me, but, well, you know, it's in the Bible. So, yeah, I'll just get married to them. And it's totally missing the point of Scripture. It's not that you don't find wisdom and instruction in the Bible. You do find wisdom and instruction in the Bible. But it's not a magic eight ball, right? It's not something you shake to get the answers that you want. The point of Scripture is to form us into the people that God wants us to become, right? To train and equip us for all righteousness. We need to be steeped in the Scripture. It needs to be written on our hearts. It needs to be what shapes our minds and our thoughts, right? We need to take every thought captive. So that our entire lives, not just this like little pinpoint moment, but the entire arc of our lives are shaped by the words God's given us, right? And we get into trouble if we try to reduce the Bible into quick and easy, what do I do next answers. Especially if the whole rest of our life isn't formed by Scriptures at all. So prophecy, prophecy is not some sort of history in reverse guide to what to do next. The point's not to tell us the future. That would be divination. Okay, divination is using gods or spirits to be able to tell the future, and that's expressly forbidden in the Bible. Right. Because that's just another way for people to declare their independence from God. If you know what's going to happen next, then that becomes a measure of what you do. There's no trust in God. There's no faith. There's no growing in discernment. That's why Scripture is so anti-divination. Right? 1 Samuel 15:23, divination is compared to rebellion. And Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall be not found among you anyone who practices divination or tells fortune or interprets omens. Right? Acts 16, it's the story of a slave girl possessed and has the powers of divination that Paul has to free from her demonic influence, and then the trouble that happens after that. So the point of the prophecy isn't that we get a timetable for upcoming events of what's going to happen. It's given to us that we know that God is in control of the future, so that we are strengthened, encouraged, and equipped to live righteously, no matter what may come. Because if you read through the prophecies, they are almost always bad news. Okay? They're almost always bad news. It's not like the prophecies say that everyone's going to get a kitten and a puppy and eat a lollipop as they slide down a rainbow. Not in the Bible. I mean, that'd be pretty sweet. But instead, just warnings. Bad things are coming down the way. We need to get right with God. But hopefully prophecy shapes us so that we know that even when we're suffering, even when our hearts are suffering, even when our bodies are suffering, we know that God has a plan. Whatever our current suffering is, that's not the entire point of our life. God has a plan. So that as we experience pain and evil in this world, we're reminded that God has a plan, that God redeems, that evil does not have the last word. That as we suffer hardships, we're reminded that God has a plan. And we can find strength in the Lord who preserves, because God sustains us. When we feel isolated and alone, and it's especially easy to feel this way right now with our current world of social distancing and friendship pods and all these precautions we have to take, you know, not even be able to see all of your faces. We were reminded that God has a plan and God is with us, even in these times. No matter how lonely we may feel, God has a plan. God has a plan for us. One of my favorite stories in the Bible are the stories of Jesus walking on the water. And it's found in all the Gospels, all four Gospels, but I really like the one in Mark 6. The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and they are straining at the oars, and they are fighting the wind, and the waves are crashing, and it's just before dawn. So it's dark. But, you know, things are probably starting to light up, you know, maybe taking on a red or orange hue. And I imagine it's kind of foggy because, you know, in the early morning, right before dawn, it often is on the water, you know, before the sun burns it away. And here comes a figure just walking around on the water. It looks like it's going to pass them by. And the disciples, they cry out because they think it's a ghost. But it's not, it's Jesus. And they can't see clearly, and it obviously doesn't make sense that there's somebody walking on the water, but the voice calls out, a voice they recognize, reassuring them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And I kind of think that's what prophecy is for us. It's the voice of Jesus calling out from a bleary and uncertain future, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And of course, it's even better because we live in a resurrection future, right? Where Jesus is still alive with us. And just like the disciples in the boat, after Jesus calls out, he comes even closer and he gets into the boat with us every step of the journey, making sure that we can get to the future that God's created for us. He's created for you. I think that's the point of Daniel, books like Daniel. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Live your life. Be shaped and formed through the study of Scripture and God's prophecy that God is turning you into the person that he intends you to be, that you know him, so you can live in that due time. Receive your reward. The reward that he's always intended for you. Please pray with me. Holy Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your prophecy. Your prophecies. For knowing that the times are uncertain. Though hardships may come, you're with us. You will sustain us. You will guide us to a better resurrection, to the fullness of your kingdom. So prepare our hearts to receive you. Prepare our hearts to be formed by you, to be shaped through by your word, by the experience that that you are a mighty God who saves. In Christ's name, amen.